the blank canvas.
You know, so we live in an era where all these athletes say that they don't look on social media, they don't care what's on the news, but they do.
Pro-black being, you know, just us celebrating us, you know, us being able to, you know, to survive in, you know, such a meager time.
With DCST.
I'm telling you, the reason why the gossip industry, why people love gossip, it goes back to our own insecurities. We love to see the rise and the fall of human beings.
This is a little saying that I like to say, and it's as simple as smart people don't make the same dumb mistake more than once.
Nobody wants to stand up for what's right. Nobody wants to be on the right side of history. They just want to go along for the ride. They literally want to just be a molecule that just floats in a straight line and just doesn't bump anybody or cause any change. You do not want that whatsoever, man.
Yeah, most people don't really care about your teeth. But you kill a dog or two, I don't know, or rape somebody, then yeah. But, you know, cheating though, yeah, nobody really cares.
She let me doo-doo in her mouth.
Yeah, I'm about to say that, but I didn't want to go there. You think it's much of life, huh?
ECST.
I went from old school Chevys to drop top Porsches.
Yeah.
Fuck a mile off in my Air Force.
Yeah.
You ain't seen what I seen. I can get $100,000 in these Sean John jeans. I went from old school Chevys to drop top Porsches. You couldn't walk a mile off in my Air Forces.
Yeah.
You ain't did what I did where you from, where I'm from. You gotta get it how you live.
Yeah, what up, ST, man?
What's going on, EC? How you feeling, man?
Man, nothing much, man. You bringing back that old school Jeezy, man, this bitch.
Yeah, you know, back when, you know, the nigga was hot, you know, when people actually cared about hip-hop.
Yeah, man. Now it's all this, or they repeat, like, once one word over and over 100 times and make money off of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, man, shit. Nigga, how's your weekend, man?
Man, it was pretty straight, you know, chilling, you know. So how about yours?
Did I do anything? Man, I ain't do shit, dog.
Yeah, I ain't either.
Yeah, I didn't get us anything, man. Just trying to get ready for this, your last couple of weeks, man, you know.
Yeah.
Before it hits 2018, man, just like we said back in the day, you know, y'all don't wait till 2018, man, to start.
Yeah.
To start, you know, new year, new me.
Yeah, the countdown is on.
Yeah, the countdown's on. Like ST said, man, you be same old you, nigga.
Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah, man, ain't shit gonna change, man. Yeah, so I touch myself on Wednesdays. I'm just doing it on Thursdays now. I changed a little bit. Like, no, man. I can't do that shit, man.
Yeah.
Man, if you got something you want to do and you want to aspire to do, man, start this shit like right now, man. You know how much time you have left, man. I lost all my 2017 to some bullshit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, but shit. Ain't nothing major going on, man, but Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese got their ass fired from the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that shit coming, man.
Yeah, we did.
Some of that shit coming a mile away, dude.
Who could really be, like, you know, a successor to Tom Coughlin? Like, really?
That's tough.
Like, yeah, because, you know, Tom Coughlin is a military man, which means, number one, he don't take no shit.
Nope.
And number two, he don't take no shit. So, you know, Ben McAdoo, he looked like a pushover, to be totally honest. I feel like I could see that jump. Like, you could see it play out on the sideline. Like, he just looked like a huge pushover.
Yeah, he was already throwing people under the bus, too, right after the game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
Instead of, you know, doing what he needs to do to secure, you know, his spot as a coach, you know, like, by, you know, whipping his players into shape. Because, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Tom Coughlin, did he have OBJ for 1 year?
Yeah, he had it for 1 year, yeah.
Okay.
I think it was rookie year, but, you know, they didn't make the playoffs because I think the Dallas Cowboys knocked them out for that last spot. Because it came down to week 17, they knocked them out, and that's the final straw for them. That's when they're like, fuck it, coach, you got to go.
Yeah, okay.
I think, go ahead.
I was about to say, because I don't think, you know, of course, that was before OBJ really just blossomed into who he is today. So I think if Tom Coughlin was still there, he'd be muzzled a little bit.
Yeah, he would, man. But like all the reins are off on him, dude. Like he is a straight up diva wide receiver, man. And
yeah,
like we were talking about before we got on, I think the smart thing for him to do is I would leave, and it's like I would be a hired gun, man. Like who want to pay top dollar for me, man? Let's go.
Who want a ring?
Hell yeah. Yeah, cause I don't know, man. If he was smart, what could he go if he was smart? Ooh, Eagles.
Yeah.
Cause Wentz is gonna be here for a while.
Yeah, but they just locked up Alshon Jeffrey, and I don't know. They may not be all in on Nelson Aguilar, so they could give him a chance. It could be, you know, a possibility, or he might go. You know, they saying Dez, not Dez
to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They saying Dez ain't what he used to be. Like, I mean, cause if you look at him, he can barely get open now.
Oh yeah, man. Dez.
Like, he doesn't really create that much separation.
No, I never really saw Dez Bryant as a number one receiver, man. Even when he was in
scrum. I didn't either.
No.
You know, he's a big, big powerful dude. You know, he can, you know, I don't really know how good he blocks, to be honest. But yeah, if I can see one team, if either the Eagles, and I think to stop that from happening, Jerry Jones would probably go ahead and buy in.
Hell yeah. He was like, man, some of y'all got to come up off this money. Especially if they like, man, that would make them so potent. Him, not the top off the defense, and then have Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
That would really be, what is shit, the triplets? That would really be the triplets then.
Yeah, it would.
Jesus, man. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I would pay $10 for it because Odell Beckham has a good 5 to 6 years playing at that level.
Yeah.
And he's going to taper off because the hits going to just get to him. But he has a good 5 years, man, playing at that high elite level, man, where he just run past people, just dominate the game all by himself. So I would pay for his prime.
But I think the stat for right now, when OBJ has more than 120 yards, I think they lose what the Giants did. So
probably focusing on them too much.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. But shit, man, the coaching carousel is coming and going. So
yeah, it is.
We're gonna see in the next couple of weeks, man, who's gonna get their ass fired. But
yeah,
dude, it's getting insane, man. It's crazy how just things aren't. It's kind of crazy how it's like, it's almost the end of the year. It's like, it's not anything really going on. Like, it's uneventful, man, which is kind of weird, dude.
Yeah. I guess the last couple of years, it's always been some things that have been sending the year off right. You know, it's just the beginning days of December. Like, we still got, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, for some things to, you know, go down, I guess.
What you think about Derrick Rose leaving again, man. Talking about, man, I just want to be healthy. Would you, if you were the Cavaliers, would you want him back?
Well, if I were the Cavaliers, I never would have bought him in the first place. I never would have signed him. Because his play is just not, it's just not conducive to a winning team. I mean, I feel sorry for him. I hate that his whole career has been battled with injuries. But no, I couldn't say I would want him back. I mean, they don't need him.
They don't, cause like LeBron running the point, And he was really there just like a holdover until Isaiah Thomas gets healthy. He's supposed pretty to be much. Back next month.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's just, I think the only reason he's coming back was because I heard that if he retires, he'll have to null and void his $80 million contract.
Yeah.
So I would have been like, you know what, man? I like basketball. We playing basketball. Yeah. Bit up in that bitch. That bitch balling, man.
Yeah. I mean, because, I think his deal, and I think like he went through the first year or so, year or two of that deal. And so if he retires, Adidas, they gonna want that money back.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. It's kind of crazy, man. Like RG3, Derrick Rose, those players that were just on like the precipice of just being like the next best thing, man, since like sliced bread, and like that one knee injury just fucks their whole life up, man. Just everything changes, dude.
Yeah.
Because even on 2K, they had like the all team for every basketball team, they had like the all team, like the all world team for each team.
Yeah.
And they had Derrick Rose as a point guard, and then they had the rest of like the 96 Bulls, but he was starting at point. And the motherfucker was a beast, man. When he was healthy, he was a beast.
Yeah. Who knows how he would have done if it weren't for, you know, the big three in Miami. I mean, who knows? I mean, for goodness sakes, he took, you know, the Memphis Tigers to, you know, the championship game.
Yep.
I don't know, man. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't doubt his ability at all. You know, when he was healthy, he was hard to contend with.
Yeah, I mean, he was hard. He was so fast, man. His whole game was speed.
Yeah, dude. You know, he didn't really have a supporting cast.
No, he didn't, man. It was all pretty much all him. That's insane, man. Just one knee injury could fuck your whole world up, dude.
Yeah.
You're fucking all up, man.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy, man. But, hey, you hear about, speaking of which, you hear about Apple starting that little Apple Pay program for the iPhones now?
Oh, word.
Yeah, so now you can send people money through iMessage if they have another iPhone, so... If you going out with your friends and they're like, man, I ain't got no money, man, I got no way to pay you, you know, I ain't got no cash on me. Hey, nigga, Apple Pay me, man. Apple Pay cash real quick.
Yeah.
God damn it, Apple, you're fucking me up. All these bum ass niggas trying to get free rides and shit, that shit's over.
Yeah.
Everybody got a fucking iPhone now, cause it's trying to replace, Venmo. You know, Venmo was kind of like a peer-to-peer, cash trading program where you exchange cash, digitally.
Yeah.
And since everybody pretty much have iPhone, man, it just like, when cut out the middleman and make some extra money. But it's free to transfer money if you have a debit card, but if you use a credit card, they get 3% in transfer. So you got to watch that shit, man.
Yeah. The only thing about the debit thing is that, you know, it's easy to hack.
Yeah, man.
So watch out. I mean, that's the only thing, man. It's just, you know, people's, you know, iCloud. And, you know, people's, you know, phones, and like, they be getting hacked so often now. So, like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is just, you know, the old man in me, but I wouldn't put that kind of sensitive information on my phone like that or on the iCloud. It's too risky.
Yeah, it is crazy, man. People, like, put they have, like, that social security number in their phones and.
Yeah.
And like putting their notes, and they had like everything in their phone. They think that shit's secure through like, you know, Face ID or just a fingerprint scan on all of the phones, man. I'm just like, man, no. You're supposed to keep some stuff off your phone. I don't have anything that's extremely pertinent on my phone.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a risk even having your bank app on your phone, really.
It is.
Yeah, man. So we're just in the age, we're in the age, man, where. And soon, man, just everything that we have access to is pretty much
going to be protected. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be just on our phones. And everybody can just get all the information. And like, we're going to get rid of paper. Yeah. I say like the next like 20 years, there'll be no more paper trail. Everything will be digital, man. Somebody can just take your life in an instant.
Yeah.
Then all the hack shit, man.
Well, I mean, look at what we were just talking about last week, you know, with Bitcoin.
Yep.
You know, that's pretty much, you know, paperless transactions right there.
Yeah. Some people want to become millionaires. Some people want to lose a whole fortune over that shit, man. The Wonder Vic twins, the one that Winklevoss. Yeah, Winklevoss twins. They're billionaires because of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I was actually today. I was actually watching that that documentary.
Oh, really?
Over the weekend, yeah. And you know, it's amazing. They said one of the companies, which I think was Mt. Gox or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They said like a third of the Bitcoins that they had that people invested in, like they just went missing. Like they don't know if somebody stole them or what. They just disappeared.
Oh hell no.
So that was the thing, and I mean, it could have been, and they could have been victims of hacking.
Yeah, like,
we don't know. So that, I mean, that's the only thing, man. Like, it's just certain things like that that kind of keep me away from like investing in things like that, because you don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know that stuff.
Yeah, man. You put all your savings.
Yeah,
you put everything in that shit. That shit is gone. Somebody else has it.
It's so risky, dude.
Yeah, man. Anything you do is a risk, but that shit right there, man.
That could be your life.
Yep, dude. You can bet everything. You can bet the whole farm on that shit. Your whole family's fucked because you did that jump.
Yeah.
Well, just like anything else, but this is kind of, it's still too risky right now. But yeah. Once it becomes a little bit more stable, then I can see it. But right now, man. Can't do it. But, man, good. Everybody's playing fantasy football, man. I know next week for standard leagues. The playoffs start, so you need to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Get up in that bitch, because I went from like 2-5 to 7-5, man.
Okay.
Hell yeah, I turned this shit around. I did it back around. Hell yeah, man. I'd be on the waiver wire. I'd be on the waiver wire hard, dude. And then what also helped me out is fucking Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
So when Bleacher Report talking about deep sleepers, I'd be like, oh, pick the nigga up just in case.
Yep. Just in case.
Get home tonight. that was a straight up I want to fuck song for real.
Pretty much.
Just in case.
It's like, nigga, what are you doing? You an R&B singer. You ain't doing that risky.
No, you going to Walmart? You know what I'm saying? Hey, but kind of feeling, man, being a black man now. I feel him now.
Oh, yeah. It could be no more true today than ever.
Hell yeah. I'm about to go get some milk, so let me get some of that pussy before I go, because I might not make it back. Like, what? Yeah. She's like, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's been such a slow weekend, man. But stuff gonna pick up probably by next week, man.
Yeah.
Cause it's gonna get down to the, you know, holiday shopping. That shit's about to start. That frenzy about to fucking start, man. And people like went to the last minute. Man, I hate that shit.
What's the, I guess, the go-to item or the, you know, got-to-have item for this year?
I don't even know what it is as far as...
Because I ain't even heard that yet.
Yeah, like, heard that at all.
Because usually they'd be, you know, on that.
What, iPhone 10?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what everybody's talking about. And the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's going to be like the hot thing right now for like Christmas sales. But if y'all here, man, just... It's not about like a revolving door, man. This shit happens every year. Be the same old shit.
Yeah.
Every year, man. Coming around doing the same junk. And people find ways for, you know, to make it as not as mundane as it used to be. But
yeah,
they got on this bitch. They got that ring system where you can see who's talking to you when you ring the doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really believe that shit, because if they had that ring, ring device, so a son would be like, a nigga that's about it would be like, nigga, I know you ain't home. And then, I'm still getting up in this bitch. And he had like a skinny ass phone. He'd be like, oh, I'm here, I'm missing. Oh, this shit mine. He's like, no. Yeah. But that's actually a good invention, man.
I think it's beneficial.
Yeah, I'm on here right now, like the Google Homes. And let's get on that for a minute, man. These Google Home things and these little smart devices. All of them are just using, they're just eavesdropping what you're talking about.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because I was watching CNBC and they said some of them listen to what you say or what you like tell them to like order, and then they kind of like tell it that to your to the advertisement that they show on your phone. And they said they're gonna have smart TVs soon, where if you mention something to your little HomePod, those kind of commercials will show on your TV. And then that other person might not see those commercials compared to what you order or put on your shopping list on a Google Home or the Apple Pod. And we talked about that shit like in the past episode. Like, man, that's an invasion of privacy, man.
And it's almost like the Big Brother effect, man, to a certain degree. People are just okay with letting the government in for technology. And I wonder when too far, I wonder when it's gonna be too late, and it's gonna be and then we're gonna just pretty much give up all of our privacy. I wonder when that's gonna be.
I mean, it's probably already at that point. As we said, and Alexa, you mentioned, some of the wrong things, and you might have the police at your door within 30 minutes.
Yeah, man. Or start speaking Arabic. I was just saying I want some chiquitos. Yeah, man, it's getting there, dude. Because I know they have, certain words that they look for, because I know I watched that Eric Snowden little documentary. They say it looked like certain buzzwords like bomb and certain words like anti-American, terms and all that kind of stuff. They just look for that kind of shit, and they can get to your house in a minute, man, especially if you're one of those, if you're on the FBI wanted list, or if you're one of those people that they actually monitoring that you don't know about. There's a lot of people that are on the FBI watch list that are extremists, quote unquote, in America, but they just don't know it. Cause I've been told that you get flagged by the CIA and the FBI if you buy certain kind of books. So you buy a certain book, with your debit card, they can pretty much flag it, and then they'd be well, is this somebody we might need to look into?
Yeah.
Because it might be some anti-American doc, book that you're buying or whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's so crazy, man.
We have the illusion of freedom, man. We don't have freedom. It's just
It's the illusion of it. We have liberty.
Yeah.
And which isn't the same as freedom. It's not the same. But man, as far as these terrorists and things, man, we wouldn't have to worry about all of that if we would just leave people alone. If we wouldn't mess with everybody, we would be all right.
Yeah, we really would, man. half the problem is we go and taking their resources and just destroying their land and
giving them nothing.
Giving them Coca-Colas. And that's it. So I'm drinking a Coke, and behind them is a wasteland of bullshit. At least I got a Coke. Yeah, man. Get to America. Man, that shit real, man. You can't expect to spit in the wind and that shit miss you, dog.
Mm-hmm.
That shit coming back to you, man. So that's just the way it is right now, dude.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, man. Dog. Shit, man. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another great episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. We are a weekly podcast show that comes on every Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on your favorite podcast services, which are iTunes, Stitcher, AudioMac, and YouTube. You can also follow us on your favorite social media sites, at Blank Canvas ECST on Twitter, same thing on Facebook, and the same thing on Instagram. I ain't repeating myself. Hey, Blank Canvas ECST.
Let's get to
the news. Let's get it. Dog. Man, so there's a couple things I want to get into, man. This is going to pretty much change the landscape of sports as we know it, man. If the bill goes through for the legalization of gambling in the United States, do you know how many companies are about to make bank off this shit? Because a statistic said that over on illegal betting sites in America alone grosses $150 billion a year.
Jeez.
Of them, just people just betting on offshore websites and getting paid that way. So, Americans just trying to find another revenue stream to bring money in, which is a smart move.
Yeah.
So if it passes in New Jersey, they say 18 states are going to follow suit immediately, and they say the other 30 some odd states will follow after that. So by next year, ladies and gentlemen, we could have legalized sports gambling just like we have, you go get scratch a lotto tickets.
Yeah.
You can go to your bookie and you can say, hey, I want to put -7 on the Steelers against the Ravens, and I want the Steelers to win. And if you put down $100, might be able to flip that into like 150. So anybody get to a point where some people would just quit their jobs and just be just like legal gamblers like in Las Vegas, man.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's about to get real in the field, dude. Some people gonna be like, man, fuck my job. I'm about to like stack up 10 G's and I'm about to get this shit rolling. Yeah. Especially if you know what you're doing, dude.
Yeah, I remember, you know, being in Vegas and, you know, walking into the MGM Grand and there's, you know, they have the little space inside the MGM Grand that's specifically for gambling. And, you know, they got lounge chairs in there. And I think I saw at least almost 300 people in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just people that make their living off gambling on games. I mean, you never know who you might come across in that area, but yeah, more than anything, you know, one or two things could happen. You know, of course it'll make a lot of people a lot of money. We've all had, I guess, some kind of thoughts whether or not games were fixed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, who knows, man? This might spark, you know, the interest of games being fixed again.
Like, in the NBA, when the ref was point shaving.
Yeah,
he went to jail for that shit, man. Because, it's so much money in it. There's the pressure of, you know, like, mobs. Because that shit still goes on, man. The mobs are still around, man. It's just not as prevalent as it used to be. And they just – I remember they had a case talking about one kid in NCAA football. I forgot what team they said he was on, but he took $500 just to fumble the ball once.
Wow.
Yeah, he took just $500 just to fumble the ball. So his team wouldn't go up by a certain amount of points, so it wouldn't go over the spread.
Mm.
Yeah, man. So that's why Roger Goodell's kind of hesitant to it because he don't want the game, he don't want the game to be fixed. To be fixed. But, Adam Silver's all for it. He said we just need to find a way to monetize that shit. He's already put in $250 million towards the effort once gambling becomes legal nationwide. He already getting ready because he knows it's coming.
Yeah, he does.
I'm telling you, man, it's about, man.
He possibly also knows that there's no way to stop it.
Yep, exactly.
So
I'm gonna get on the winning team, nigga.
So yeah, so why not go ahead and fix everything to your liking so that you're protected and that you also get a piece of the pie.
And the only thing they can really do to kind of deter games being fixed is just increasing the salary of your refs and the people that's all you can really do is increase that salary. It's like, hey, man, y'all getting like a 50% boost because of all this extra money coming in.
Yeah.
And then, man, just don't. If somebody tell me they're going to break your legs, let us know, man. We'll just try to help you out. We'll kill your family if the Bucks meet the Cavaliers.
Right.
Yeah, dude.
We'll send you home with some extra security.
Hell yeah, man. We got you, man. But it's about to be Buck Wild, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. That shit, man. If it goes down, man, shit. It's a done deal. I'm putting my 2-week notice in. I'm like, I'm out. That shit. Be at home. Like, that's all that I got. But the number one rule, man, if y'all want to get into that shit, number one rule is don't ever bet on your favorite team.
Oh, yeah.
Because your
emotions are in it.
Your emotions and your heart will be in it. And you got time to feel it. You ain't got time for that shit, man.
Yeah, you got to be subjective.
Hell yeah, you got to go with your gut. So I would never bet on the Ravens or the Lakers. I probably bet against Lakers losing. I'm making a whole bunch of money. But the really only way to really make money is to find the upsets.
Yeah.
Because if you bet on this chalk, which chalk is the person that everybody thinks is going to win.
Everybody knows, yeah.
You're not going to really make that much money. But just like, what's been like one, like in the past like 5 years, was like a team that was just one going to win, just shocked the world? I'm trying to think.
Well, I guess.
You know, the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots. Yeah, that. Yeah. That line was really heavy favorite for the Patriots, man. So
I think the line for Seattle was pretty deep too when they played against the Broncos. That because I don't really think anybody expected the Seahawks to win.
Let me see. Yeah, we can look this shit up because I know they got. Because you can ask like right now, man, on y'all phones right now, you can ask Siri, what's the point spread on any game? A lot of people didn't know that. and she'll spit that shit out to you. Let's see, what was that spread that year? I wanna see, what was the spread? It opened with Denver being favored by how many points? Hurry up. It's about the slow-ass computer. Let me see. Okay, the line for, it was a small, the line for Denver Broncos was a -1.5. And the 1.5 pretty much means that the Broncos will win by 1.5 points, which means that if the Broncos won by like 24-17 and you bet on that 1.5 spread, you won it. But if it was like a 21-20 spread, then you would lose. That's pretty much it. That's what it all is. And it's easy to learn about point spreads and over-unders because all these numbers are simple math. But, man, it's like what's going to fuck up a lot of people is people betting on college games and they're not knowing about it. This is going to be the problem. People are going to bet on shit they don't know about. And that's when they're going to start losing money. That's when motherfuckers are going to be broke and they're going to end up having to suck different quarters, like we used to say back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know what you're betting on, man. If you're an avid college football fan, I'll only bet on college football when the season comes in. I will not be like, hey, I'm gonna try to bet on baseball. Like, dude, know your limitations. If not, I would take a whole year. Like, if you're interested in like gambling now, I would use this time right now to just tally up shit right now and be like, hey, this is what I would choose if I put my money on it, and then see what your major errors, and then like have a whole year where it just be like you ain't lose none of your money. Then try to take a chance on it, because I wouldn't listen to pundits, because this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a new rise of the people, experts from Vegas, being on ESPN and Fox Sports 1 saying, this is where you put your money in. Yeah. And they're going to hire people that's going to tell you, this is what you need to do. And if you listen to them, you're going to be stupid, man, because you need to make up your own decisions. I never listened to anybody when it came to sports betting, man. I listened to my own gut and just my years of watching football. Because you can't be like, oh, man, Scott Van Pelt said, because he talks about it on his shows at midnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, watch it. Because he has a session called Bad Beats. And what bad beats are pretty much is, it's funny as hell because the point spread is pretty much met. And then somebody fucks it up. And this shit goes over the point spread or under the point spread. And fucks that shit up. And people are just like, oh, I won, but somebody did something extra. Because Lane Kiffin had a point spread of 5.5. Over to beat some team, and then he was right at that his point spread, and he went over it. No, he went under it by making his team get a safety so they get out of the game, so they could actually still win the game, but keep the but not get the team a chance to get the ball. Mm. And he tweeted that same day on Twitter, say, "Hey Vegas, I'm sorry if you put money on this. You know, don't bet your money." And people were pissed off, and they put that shit up on Scott Van Pelt. Yeah, he talks about sports gambling all the time, man. It's coming, man. It's out in the open.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time, man.
Yeah, because for so long, they've been trying to stop it.
Yep.
And, you know, with anything, you know, especially American people, anything you try to tell them like, they can't do, they're going to find a way to do it.
Hell yeah. So, but might as well just go ahead and just let people lose their money.
Yeah.
Because, like, the smart bets – like the best that make you some money are like future bets, and what future bets are saying like before a season starts, like you can say like who will win the NFC East, and you can look at the spread on who Vegas thinks are going to win it, and then you just pick who you think is going to win it. So if you came out before the season started and say the Los Angeles Rams were going to be NFC West champions, and you put like $100 on it, you could have flipped that shit to like maybe like $5,000, $10,000 because the probability of them winning was so low during that time.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you gotta just know, man. Sometimes it's just like sometimes a huge risk. And then other things that you gotta worry about is that you can bet, you can like bet on games as they're in progress, cause the point spread, will change like in game. So you can bet for, you can bet for them before the game starts, and then you can no longer touch it. Or you can start like betting for games like while they're going on. And the point spread changes like second to second. And that's why motherfuckers end up being broke and don't have no money when they just get that greedy. Like, greed's gonna fuck up a lot of people, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it already is. Yeah. You know, just with, you know, regular things.
With lotto, yeah. Scratch.
Yeah. It don't even have to do with, you know, I guess winning money. It's just people just, you know, being greedy. But that's gonna mess up a lot of people.
Yeah, dude. A lot of people are gonna be poor, committing suicide because they ain't got the baby's trust fund.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm about to flip this shit, man. You know, she be still be able to go to college. Then we can get us a new car. And then come out, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you gotta learn, man. Because, like, the number one rule is, like, if you do it, just put 20% of your assets, 20% of your income into it. So if you want to gamble, only use 20% of your money. And then after that, don't touch no more. If you fuck that off, just say, hey, that's it.
Yeah.
Next month, start over.
So. Yeah. Well, I guess for the smart people, you know, the housing market will crash and you'll be able to buy, you know, a cheap hood home for, you know.
The cheap ass hood home. It's going to fuck some people over, man. It's going to be some interesting stories that come out of it. Because it's going to turn a lot of people into millionaires. It's also going to cause a lot of people to
bottom out,
dude. Speaking of which, man, have you seen Lamborghini, that new Lamborghini SUV?
Nah, nigga, I don't.
This shit ugly as fuck.
Nah, word. I'm not surprised though.
Got a lot of horsepower in that bitch though.
Of course it does.
I'm like, man, I don't know if I want my kids in that bitch.
Yeah.
It has 681 horsepowers.
Oh hell no, that ain't safe enough.
Man, get a Lambo, nigga. Like, what's the point? Like, that's like the playboy that has a family but still want to keep the Lamborghini. Lamborghini style, but it look like an Equinox, man. It don't look distinctive. It doesn't like look like any other, like, it doesn't even look like a luxury a high-end SUV. If you took off the emblem of the Lamborghini emblem, all the way you would kind of, if it was a Lamborghini, if you were like an average, like if you were just a diehard fan of Lamborghini, you'll see like the hood is still shaped the same as a original Lamborghini.
Yeah, you know, their body style.
If you know, you know the body style. Other than that, it looks like a regular, like, it looks like Equinox. If y'all know what a Chevy Equinox is, it kind of looks like that, man. It's man. I don't know about that, man. But, you know, it'll just once you establish a name, it don't matter what you do with shit. So it's going to sell just because of the name.
Ugh, it is ugly.
Yeah, I told you, dude. It's ugly as fuck, man.
Ugh.
Yeah, man. It's ugly as hell, dude.
Damn.
And I post some pictures up on over our Twitter at BlankHandsECST, so y'all can see it. Just go to the media tab, you'll be able to see the pictures. It looks horrendous, man.
Yeah, it looks like trash. But you already know, like, you know, a whole bunch of people with no style will buy it.
Yeah, just be like, I got just like when the Mercedes SUV came out, everybody was buying them bitches. It's like a big ass box of wheels.
Yeah,
motherfuckers just buy because of Mercedes.
Yeah,
that's all it was. I'm like, this shit ugly as hell.
Yeah, it is ugly. What's that? The G-Wagon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, like, okay, we know you got money, man, but get an E-Class. E-Classes are pretty big. Just get an E-Class Benz. It's like a fucking, it's like the Pope Mobile. That's exactly what that shit look like. That shit look fucking horrendous. But the other thing, only like, man, it's been a real slow week, family, man, so you got to bear with us. The other thing that came up was, you have to literally ask yourself the question if you're a doctor. If you had somebody come in through the ER and on his chest it says do not resuscitate, what do you do? Morally, as a doctor, do you just let him just lay there and die, or do you just try to resuscitate him? So
they took an oath
mm-hmm.
to save people's lives, which is what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
So them not doing that, I don't care what, you know, I don't care what the patient says. Them not doing it, they went against their oath.
Yeah. So. Now they said the doctors initially tried to treat him with antibiotics, other life-saving measures.
Yeah.
Let me see. Of course, it happened in Florida. All crazy shit happened in Florida. The 70-year-old patient whose denial of potentially life-saving treatment was right there on his skin, talking about the do not resuscitate tattoo. At first, the doctors wanted to ignore it. According to the study, authored by a team of medical professionals from the University of Miami, the doctors attended the man, didn't want to honor the tattoo because there was no way to absolutely be sure that that's what the man wanted.
Yeah.
The doctor said, we initially decided not to honor the tattoo, invoking the principle of not choosing to irreversible path when faced with uncertainty, the study said. The doctors chose to treat the patient with antibiotics and other life-saving measures. However, they called the hospital ethics consultant who had a different opinion, and the consultant told them to stop because that's his right. And they said him putting it on his chest wasn't a joke. He was already legally blind as well.
Mm.
So he was just ready to get out of here. So he probably drank some Clorox or something or did something to harm himself. And then somebody still called an ambulance on him. He's like, man, just don't resuscitate me. I'm ready to go. Man, that's crazy.
Dang.
That was me. I'd be like, man, hell no. Shit. Not on my watch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then, like, when he wakes up, he's like, hey, how you doing? And then, like, the tattoo, be like, remove the tattoo off his chest. I just cut that shit off. Like, did y'all see the fucking tattoo? I'm like, what tattoo? And he looks down, be like, no. Oh, that should be funny as hell, man. He probably have a heart attack thinking he gonna go crazy. He thought he had a tattoo to begin with. But man, yeah, dude, that's crazy. But I can see you being legally blind, you have other ailments, but by the time you get 70, if you ain't taking care of yourself,
yeah,
and you're just drinking, you know, just drinking all you want, partying, you know, doing little recreational drugs, that shit wears on you after a while.
Yeah.
It just make your body just brittle, man. And it's just like you live every day in pain, and you're just like, man, I'm just kind of tired of this pain.
Yeah.
But it's insane that he went to that length to get a tattoo on his chest.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy part about it, man. That's insane.
You know, it just makes you think, you know, what could he have gone through in his life to the point where, you know, you just ready to give up quick.
You just said, fuck it. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Man. Life hard, but come on, dude.
Yeah.
It was just, that's just his way to go. It was just his time to go, man.
Yeah.
That was just his way, man. But I saw that news report, and I was just like, man, that's extremely odd. And I thought it was something that we could talk about. But they'll know in the future.
Yeah.
And if you had that tattoo on you, man, just let them die. I wouldn't even brought him in. So they got to bill somebody for that shit.
Yeah, they do.
And his next of kin will get billed for that. The hand was picking him up. Like, didn't you see that shit on his chest when you picked him up? You know, somebody, you know, somebody felt to be poor, and they'd be like, man, did you see that shit on his fucking chest? Next time his shit, y'all should be paying me. Yeah, man. That, man, healthcare industry is nothing but, just like, it's a crooked business like anything else, man.
Yeah, it can be.
It can be, dude. Like, this shit should be free, just like it is in Canada, but oh well. Oh, yeah, speaking of which, man, Canada might be a new hotspot, man, because they're about to make weed legal in Canada, period. All over Canada. It says it's going to bring them billions of dollars, man.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Shit. Motherfuckers about to be making bank, dude. They said it could bring in $100 billion for them, man, yearly. It's about to be insane, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, if like, listen to me, family, man. If right now, if you don't have any idea what you want to do, what kind of business you want to start, start thinking about medicinal marijuana. And start thinking about ways that you can try to at least get a cut of it. And try to get some money up. And then try to get some friends together and try to do that stuff. Because that's about to be a new way to make money. Because they already making money in Colorado. Hand over fist.
Yeah.
In a period.
Colorado, California.
Yep. And you ain't got to be a weed head to do it. All you got to do is just find you one. If you want to make sure that you're abreast and know what you're talking about when you're talking about weed, get somebody, get a weed head and bring them on. Bring them on board. Which is kind of funny to say, he or she would be a great asset. Like, for real, man. Cause shit. You know, it's about to be a lot of ways to make money, man. Somebody know how to open up a sports book when gambling becomes legal in all 50 states?
Yeah.
You about to make bank. As long as you can pay out your bets, you about to make bank. Because you're going to need, I would say you would need at least $250,000 to $500,000 to start out to cover your wages, your payouts. Then you should be straight. Unless somebody come in with some crazy 18 parlay and that shit, the odds of paying out be like $1 million. You'd be like, man, nah, we can't take that parlay right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, man, you can start your own sports book, man. Start looking at that shit now. Like, man, this is what's going to happen to us, man. Once again, we're gonna end up being on the other side of this money, these money makers, man. We're gonna be the customers, not be the owners of shit.
Yeah.
Cause we the main ones that smoke weed, and then we the main ones that gamble and bet between our friends, but we won't use that to start a legitimate business.
Yeah,
telling me, gotta think about that kind of stuff, man. These are almost easy jobs to start, especially sports books. That's easier to do than that's way easier to do than weed, starting a weed business. All you need to do is just pretty much have a couple of computers and just hire a good staff and just good security staff. You straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's about to be.
And that's the thing, like, also, like, make sure that you got people around you that you can trust.
That's going to be the hard part.
Yeah.
That's what, man, you could make it, you could become a multimillionaire easy, man.
Shoot, yeah. Y'all start making money, man. Like, people can turn awkward, like, yep. Real quick.
Real quick, man. Money changes people. Especially if you're not honest about who getting the money and, like, the splits and all that shit, it really can get kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, man, you look into that shit, and I ain't gonna lie, man, if Georgia don't get it, and, like, Georgia be, like, the only state that doesn't have legalized gambling, I'm moving to Mississippi, man. Fuck that. And if I had the money, I'm like, man, you be like, hey, man, just get a couple of our boys together, be like, hey, man, y'all just put in $50,000, dude. And we split this shit, like, 5, 6, 7 ways, however many that get into it. And then all you gotta do is sit there and watch the money roll in. Because everybody, people, like, the way that Vegas is making it is they just pry on just what they call the good gambler sharps, because they're sharp about betting. I forgot what they call the people that aren't good at betting, the pump.
Sharks or the smart guys or something like that.
Yeah, they call smart guys sharks and the sharp guys and all that shit. But I forgot what they call the people that don't know about it. That's how Vegas make all their money. They make all their money off of people, that regular people. That just bet on their favorite teams or bet on a hunch, or they listen to somebody on TV and they just believe in them. That's how they make all their money. Yeah, that's why Vegas is like a fucking, they run like a fucking, like, a transformer, nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They run off with people that just have a love for their team. Like, I bet the Cincinnati Bengals will beat the Patriots. And like, like, and they be smiling the whole time, like, you dumb motherfucker. How much you want to put down? I put down 5 G's. Like, like, you try to hold your voice, and I'm like, really? I mean, really? Okay, man, let me go ahead. Let me get you set up. And you be like drooling and shit while they making a bet. Like, hell yeah, man. But yeah, that's something to definitely think about, man. But we're giving out free advice, free money advice. Nobody gonna hear it. Nobody gonna heed to it, man. Like, yeah. They don't even think about it. There's gonna be just a whole bunch of you know who the others are gonna capitalize on this shit as well. That's the main reason why they wanna get it legalized, so they can capitalize off of it.
Yeah.
Keep people out of it, man. And it's not gonna be hard to start one. Cause all you gonna really need is a business license. That's it.
Yeah.
And then probably like a gambling license that they're gonna just create. And that's gonna be it, man. And if you can pay out the best, you're straight. And I guarantee you nobody's gonna be hitting hard, and just know who to take bets from, who not to take bets from. If somebody like literally cashing it out from your ass like every other week, just say fuck them, man. Like, dude, you can't bet here no more.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Or you can only bet a certain amount. Like, you ain't about to tap me out. God, man. If I had enough bread saved up, dude, we could do that shit. God, dog. But, man, she got anything else for news, man?
Nah, man.
All right, man, let's go ahead and get to the topic.
Let's get it.
ST, man. What the fuck has happened to rap, dog?
Man. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like hip hop anymore. It seems more of like a punk, like pop.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to say pop music, dude.
It's like punk/pop kind of top 40 type of thing now. Like, it's not like there's still some artists that, you know, come out every now and then that, you know, lead you to believe that hip hop is still alive. Cause you get, you know, lyricism, but for the most part, it just seems like now it's, I don't know, just one big party. There's no social commentary anymore.
Yeah, man.
Even in the radio, like we get some kind of social commentary, but yeah, now it's just, you know, everybody is, you know, popping pills or, you know.
Lean.
Yeah.
Talking about the same old shit, drugs, cars, and women, man. It seems like you gotta like think about it. If you gotta look at like who are besides independent rap finally getting finally coming up. People are trying to finally figuring out that I don't need a big company to be successful.
Yeah.
Because of like SoundCloud and YouTube, but it's also on the other spectrum as well where this pretty much SoundCloud is pretty much birthed the new era of hip hop.
Yeah.
Really with this Post Malone, Lil Pump, Lil Peep, Lil Dick, like whatever other shit. Lil Pussy, like whatever motherfucking names are coming out right now. But like, dude, like I'm telling you, man, like I've never heard of some of these motherfuckers before in my life.
I know.
Yeah, man, like cause rest in peace of Lil Pep. I didn't hear about him till he died. Peep. And I was just like, I'm misspelling, my fault. But I was just like,
I haven't either though.
I haven't even heard of these dudes, man. I'm just like,
yeah.
How y'all popular?
Yeah. Well, hip hop, I mean, and this is our fault too though.
It is for letting
hip hop is the only genre of music that allows like normal people to believe that they can do it.
Yep.
For some reason, you can't, like it's not regulated. Like, nobody, there's nobody that says, and if you do, like, you hating.
Preach, nigga, go ahead, man. Keep talking, dog. God damn it, you hit the nail on the head, dude.
It's just that, like, you can aspire to be a country singer.
Yeah.
All day long. But if you go to some of the offices in Nashville and, you try out and they ain't feeling you, that's it for you. Like, there is no, okay, I'm going to go home and practice and, hopefully I'm going to come back. No. If you don't make it, you don't make it. You might as well just go ahead and get you a job at Burger King. Like, just stop. Because you're not getting in the door. That's the thing. You cannot break through. If they feel like you won't make it, that's it. That's it for you. But for hip hop, for some reason, we allow everybody to think that they can do it.
Yeah, we just letting everybody in, man.
And the fact that we let so many people get away with, being subpar. How can you not feel like you can do it when you see so many acts that, to be honest, like Jadakiss said, if it weren't for Biggie Smalls, a lot of artists would be out here, can I take your order, please? So,
keep it real, though.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And it's crazy how it's transformed into a young man's game.
Yeah.
So you can't be 26, 27 years old putting out your first album now. It's virtually impossible.
Unless you just come with that straight up heat and you got people feeling you. But I remember I asked one of my friends, I was like, man, like who bought this for Post Malone? And he was like, man, I like Post Malone. Post Malone got some good stuff, but he's like, man, depressed white kids are the reason why Post Malone made it. And I never heard Post Malone, man, until like this year. And he has a huge, I never heard that motherfucker. He has a huge following, man. And
yeah,
I ain't gonna lie. That was that song he got out now with 21 Savage.
Rockstar is an absolute smash.
I ain't gonna lie, Rockstar straight. That fucking beat hard, but that and then that congratulations song is pretty straight too.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, but I was like, how did this motherfucker come to be, man? Because it seemed like you could tell some white executives were just sitting up in the office like, how can we infiltrate rap? With a white face. How can we make hip hop change it over to a white man's game? Like, let's get a hippie, put a whole bunch of tattoos on him and make him like rap like a black guy. Like, it'll work, Jim. That's how I created Post Malone. But yeah, man, I ain't gonna lie, when I heard Rockstar, I was hating on that nigga, like, man, this motherfucker right here, this little culture vulture or whatever. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, half of the song, I was like, I wanna be a rock star. I was like, alright, this shit's straight.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, the beat fire, man. I wonder who made that beat, though.
Like, I'm not gonna doubt his ability to, you know, to make music. I don't know. It just seems like we probably get, we get more white rappers now than we do, than we get, like, black rappers. But the thing is, man, like, my problem is the fact that we got so many white rappers out here that put out better content than we do.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's my whole issue with hip hop right now, is the fact that the content that our white contemporaries put out is oftentimes better than all of the stuff that we put out. And it's not to say that they are smarter. It's just we don't want to put effort into our craft anymore.
Why should they when songs like motherfuckers like Little Pump making songs like Gucci Gang,
yeah,
and that shit has over like 70 million views off of a 2-minute song. He pretty much made money off of that one song. And he became so popular. I saw a motherfucker on a commercial for Spotify on TV. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I knew it. Like, this shit's getting out of hand, dog. They like you're saying, man, they playing the game. They're learning the game, man. They're doing it better than we're doing it right now, man.
Yeah.
And they just have a wider audience because, man, for, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, people that buy hip hop are just white kids.
Yeah.
We don't really buy hip hop. We really don't support our own brand. You know what I'm saying? We end up either like, you know, downloading this shit off of like a torrent site.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or just like trying to like bootleg it off of the radio. Cause I remember back in the day, people were just like using cassettes to record off of on the radio and not even buy the cassettes. I'm like, come on, what happened to you? Yeah. Cassettes weren't that expensive back in the day.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Then like, I think the real rap, man, what kind of destroyed hip hop was the rise of like LimeWire and Napster.
Yeah, it was.
Because when people found out you could like download, you know, music and porn on those sites, those sites, man, you know, that shit changed the game, dude.
Yeah, it did.
I ain't gonna lie, man. LimeWire was my first little step into that area. I was like, you can do what with this shit? And all you heard in my house was skitty. You thought I was like a motherfucker. Then like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, you'd be pissed off when you like halfway finished about to download the video, and then she'd be like 70%, and somebody like pick up the phone, and you'd be like, she on the fucking phone. For all the kids, you know, before dial up, you never even heard of dial up. Like,
yeah.
If you're on the internet and somebody picks up the phone, that shit knocks you off the internet.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So you talking to somebody in AOL chat, type of ASX location, and you trying to figure out if they're a girl or a guy. So you can be talking all dirty to them, no half the time with two guys talking dirty to each other. Your ass get knocked offline because somebody want to talk on the phone. Like, man, the early days of the internet was a struggle, dude.
Yeah, it was.
It was a struggle, man. It's evolved. It's evolved so quickly over the years, dude.
If people back then who died when internet was first here,
mm-hmm,
if they could only see it now, they would probably have a heart attack.
Probably will, dude. Talking about you can get what for free? Like, what's this hub place you talking about? Tube place? What is this?
Yeah.
You just start drooling. They probably start drooling and going to convulge when they find out how much access you have to shit.
Yeah.
Just like, I saw this one video of this kid, these parents called this little boy like watching porn on his smartphone.
Yeah.
Instead of like berating him, they were laughing at him. And then you could tell he was guilty because his voice got real high like a little girl. But he was like, this not mine! It's not mine! And the boy could be no older than 15 years old. So you know he was lying, talking about, I was looking at this! And it was his personal cell phone. That's talking about he had 81 tabs of porn open.
Dang.
God dog, dude. You ever heard of bookmarks? Or privacy? I need to run like a kid's forum on how to do shit. Like, the motherfucker's fucking up. Yeah, yeah, that shit was funny as hell, dude. The little boy was like, he was embarrassed, and his little sister was laughing at him. I was like, because you know he probably did after that. Cause I'll show you how the business beat that night. Cause I'll show you. So, I won't look at this shit. Yeah, man. Just the rise of, I think the rise of mumble rap kind of helped out a lot of these rappers out today too. So is it Migos' fault to a certain degree?
Oh, no.
Who started mumble rap?
I think where lyrics actually, it was probably the era before Migos. It was definitely Waka Flocka.
Yeah, there you go. Who else?
Who else was in that, like, in that time period?
Who was in the Flocka time period?
Because Waka came out in what, 2010?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Who was his contemporaries during that time? Fuck, I don't remember. See, motherfuckers not memorable, dude.
Yeah.
They're not.
It was definitely Jack.
But he wasn't a mobile rapper, though.
But he still wasn't talking about shit.
He wasn't talking about nothing. Yeah, you're right.
So he was definitely in there with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was guys like that who actually started not mumble rap, but just bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and all the kids, you know, all the kids loved it. And, you know, it just got to a point where if the kids loved it, that's who was credible.
Yep.
And the transition started right there. It started from it being an older, more
conscious.
Yeah, exactly. More conscious group.
Yeah.
To a adolescent, you know, not really being aware of what's most important in life. That kind of group where you like, you're still in high school. You don't really know what life is. Like, you just, you know, going off the motions or
what. You don't know what the struggle is. You think you know what the struggle is, but you don't know what the struggle is.
And some do, because they probably live a hard life. But, you know, overall, you know, you're not really, I guess, equipped with the knowledge to know exactly how crazy life can be.
Yeah, really don't. Like, quick question, man. If nobody ever heard of Biggie and Tupac, let's say Biggie and Tupac didn't come out during the time they came out.
Yeah.
If they came out now, would people be feeling them like they felt them back in the day?
With songs like Dear Mama and, let's see, Warning, I think the older generation would still appreciate them. Because they'd be like, hey, these some brothers that's, you know, really talking about something.
Yeah.
I don't really know about the kids, though. I don't really think the kids would really appreciate that. I mean, because if you look at them now, like they pretty much disregard, you know, Biggie and Tupac.
And like, yeah, man. Speaking of which, like Lonzo Ball talking about Nas ain't the GOAT. It's such and such. I'm like, God, it was some fucked up name.
Migos.
Migos was hotter than Nas. I was just like, oh, this generation is fucked up, man. We like kind of getting like our parents, but not to a certain degree, man. Like, no. Like, these niggas don't stand up to these other rappers. I know it's like a different era, but pound for pound, if people were like serious about it, you couldn't say like Migos is better than Nas. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I think generations before didn't do a very good job of depicting what was and what isn't acceptable.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that we face now. Because, like, now, you know, back during that era, we had a bunch of, you know, drug pushers. And, you know, I don't think the older generation did a good job of handing down, you know, the best example to follow. Because, you know, if everybody's a pusher in the older generation, you know, you got to expect that the next generation is going to be, you know, full of, you know, users.
Yep.
So, you know, that older generation didn't really quite, you know, set the tone for younger generations to follow. So there's the disconnect. There's a huge disconnect. Like, there's a bridge that needs to be gapped. But, you know, land between the older generation and land and the new generation is so far apart that the bridge, like, there won't be any support for the bridge. Because it's so far apart. Like, there's no understanding between either side. So, I don't know. It's a conversation that I honestly think, you know, it's never ending. I don't think there's no true way to fix it either. Because, you know, we've got old people that are set in their ways.
Yep.
And then we got young people who are young and rebellious. And,
they're going to kind of want to, you know, bond with their peers. So if you grew somebody up on like Nas, Tupac, Biggie, J. Cole, Crit, if you grew them up, like you say you bring a kid out of the womb and you don't let them listen to mumble rap, you let them listen to what you listen to, they won't be able to get along with their friends. So they'll be like, so what do you listen to? They're going to, their friends be like, well, I listen to Lil Uzi. And I don't fucking understand that shit. Y'all don't understand Lil Uzi either. But they also start listening to Lil Uzi like, you know, this shit's hot only because their friends like it and you just want to fit in.
Yeah.
It's not going to be important because, you know, everybody want to be a fucking sheep. Everybody just want to be accepted.
Yeah.
And it's tougher just to stand on your own than to go ahead and just fall into the crowd. That's why we have so many followers instead of leaders.
Yeah.
So it'll just be like, man, might as well just fall into the crowd. Because I remember back in high school, I listened to DMX.
Yeah.
Heavy. I was really into DMX. I was into Jay. I wasn't really into Nas, so I grew up a little bit more and started being stupid, ignorant. And I started listening to Nas then, but I was a big DMX and Jay-Z fan. That's all I listened to. I could almost like recite almost any Jay-Z lyric to this day because I listened to so much of that shit. Like, especially his first like four albums. God, dog. That was hip-hop to me, but you know. I kind of hate it with kids now, man. I was talking to my little cousin. Speaking of which, y'all talking about my little cousin over the Thanksgiving break. She's about to graduate high school. I was like, man, so what do y'all listen to now? And she was like, man, we listen to, you know, Post Malone, Lil Uzi, and like, and all other rappers we just mentioned. I'm just like, man. And I looked at her and I said, Jesus Christ. And she just started laughing at me. I was like, does anybody like J. Cole? I was like, no, we didn't know. And I was like, okay, because he's talking about something. And then she started laughing. She was like, no, it's just like, you just, he don't have catchy hooks and all those stuff. I was like, really?
And I guess I could kind of understand that. Like, you know, D, he says that, you know, he thinks J. Cole is kind of boring himself.
Oh, hell no. All right. Me and D are no longer friends. That's it. Friendship over. Is he serious?
Yeah, he's serious.
Shit, we got this man. We're gonna talk to that nigga. What the fuck? No. But, go ahead, man.
But no, it's just I don't know, man. Like it's just weird. Like it's, you know, kids need things to keep their attention.
Yeah.
So. Like, you need some, like, I wonder how kids feel about, Kendrick Lamar. Or,
That's a good question. I didn't ask her about Kendrick Lamar. I should have.
Or maybe even, you know, Travis Scott. I think Travis Scott is for, like, college kids. Like, you know, kids that are, you know, they've kind of figured themselves out.
Yeah,
they kind of figure that, you know, the system ain't meant for them.
Yep.
You know, kind of Rage Against the Machine type, you know, type of music. But I don't know. Like, it's so weird because, like, we get guys like that, like Travis Scott and Kendrick, who buck the system, but also put out great music. And, you know, like, when you hear a Kendrick Lamar record, you say, okay, this is it. This is hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, you know, this is what I love. But the only thing that bugs me about Kendrick is that I don't really get that line. That line that, you know, this memorable that, you know, can kind of sum up a life lesson in one sentence. You know, like how you would get that from Jay.
Yeah.
You would get that from Nas. You would get that from DMX. You would get that from Outkast.
Yeah, man, Outkast. Like, God, man, these kids don't know they're missing, man. Yeah.
You would get that from Goody Mob.
Yeah.
You would get that, you know. But, you know, I don't, like, today's music, I don't get that. I don't get that one line that could sum up a life lesson for me. Like, something that'll make you think and say, oh, yeah, life is more important than this. Yeah. Like, I don't get that with some of these artists. So, you know, hip hop is a way of life. I don't know. Can we really say it's dead because we don't understand it now?
Yes. I guess it's evolving, and I guess hopefully, man, that hopefully it regresses back to the good shit. That's the thing. It's evolving into like a eight-legged deformed mutant.
Yeah.
Right now, man.
I just don't see it. I don't see it going back. Like, you know, even
it's not.
Even though music is cyclical, like, we've been on this wave of bullshit for at least 10 years now.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute. Like, a nigga like Common couldn't make it now. If he, like, Common,
no,
like,
no.
had just wasn't established, he came out now, he wouldn't make it.
No, he wouldn't.
He could left on the face of the earth. He wouldn't have an audience.
He would have a core audience.
That's it.
Like, niggas that understood him,
yeah.
And that's it. He wouldn't go any further than that. Like he would be rap's version of Neo Soul.
Yep. Like, dude.
Which he kinda is now anyway.
Yeah, he kinda transitioned over to the right time in the acting.
Yeah.
He better be glad he can actually act. Cause he'll be fucking screwed. Man. It's kinda sad, man. It's
yeah.
That, you know, the powers that be are trying to, you know, just get. Cause, you know, like, music moves people.
Yeah.
It can create action in people, man. And, you know, hip hop is our main source of music and our main source of inspiration. So, what's something that you could do to stop kids, especially kids of color, to aspire to be something?
Yeah.
Tell the people that they listen to don't talk about this or this or this, or you're not gonna make it, or you're gonna have to just be independent.
Yeah.
Cause if you actually like, if we had like a 10-year, let's say we had like a 10-year period of just rappers just talking about economic empowerment, talking about loving each other, loving the community,
yeah,
that it would rub off on you, and you would just it would elevate our community,
yeah.
But just they don't want that, man. So we're gonna keep on talking about some Gucci gang shit.
Yeah.
Also, I want to eat, you know, drink some lean and, you know, fuck a bitch. And, you know, getting in the gang and, you know, trying to make it in the rap game, because that's just a fickle industry that we're in.
Yeah.
That's just it, man. You gotta just keep the people that you're trying to keep, the people that are oppressed, keep them oppressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's just sad, dude. It's only, and then the rappers that actually talk about something are not getting heard. Or they just lose the motivation and they're kind of like just following the crowd. Speaking of J. Cole, man, because like J. Cole came out, he was hard. And I ended up got to the point where he started singing in some of his songs. And then, like, when I first heard him singing on his track off of, dang it, what's it? Damn it, what's the name of that shit? I Keep My Head High.
Forest Hill Drive.
Yeah, on that CD, yeah, man. When I heard him start singing, I was like, nah, man.
Yeah.
Nah, but he had to adapt. And it's kind of fucked up, man. Like, you have to go with the tide. That's the way rap is going. You kind of got to go against your morals and say, like, hey, this is what I got to do to survive. It's called Apparently on Forest Hill Drive, man. And yeah. I was like, no, nigga, no.
And I didn't like Forest Hill Drive.
Man, only trust I lost to that bitch was Central Pay, Apparently, and couple of tracks on that bitch, but still, my favorite J. Cole albums are all of his mixtapes. All his mixtapes are straight. No Role Models was straight. But yeah, that was his weakest album, that Forest Hill Drive. Forest Hill Drive was his weakest album, his studio albums.
Nah, I think that new joint he just put out is his weakest.
Hey, you crazy. You what? SC, yeah. What? You for real? What?
Yeah, I do. I think so.
You do not like For Your Eyes Only?
I don't think it's that good.
This only tracks I don't listen to are She's Mine Part 1 and 2, Folding Clothes, and Sometimes I Can Do With or Without Neighbors. But the rest of these motherfuckers are straight, nigga. Like, Change? God. Immortals, Deja Vu, man. Nah, man. All right, y'all. This is the last episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. I'm just kidding. Like, am I the only one to critic like J. Cole now?
No, it's not that I don't. It's not that I don't like him. It's just I wasn't.
You just want to feel. I
wasn't moved.
Yeah.
I wasn't moved like I was moved when I heard
Warm Up,
Born Sinner. I wasn't moved like when I heard the Warm Up. I wasn't moved when I was moved when I heard Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that was
shit. I don't know.
He used up all his good material on mixtapes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's what you have to, like, that's a give and take, man. It's
like Big Crit before, you know, he went by, you know, independent.
Yeah, man, Crit mixtapes are so, they're classics. Wiz Khalifa had some great ass mixtapes too.
Yes, he did.
That OJ, Cushion OJ, nigga?
That's my favorite. That's my favorite of his.
No,
that's
I still see that shit.
Piece of work. Yes, I do too.
Yeah, I still, man, I love that shit. Cause OJ was that shit, man.
Nigga,
dude.
Like if we could just get that, just get that back, like to the point where, you know, artists are, you know, like the lyrics are just like understandable, like, you know, cause like what are niggas talking about now?
I don't know. I don't know. All I hear is the hook. That's it. That's all I hear, dude. I don't hear anything. Yeah.
I'm just disappointed. I wish we had, you know, more artists that, you know, could express themselves coherently.
Yeah, that's the issue, man. But Blank Canvas family, let us know. Is hip hop dead, man, or are you enjoying this mumble rap bullshit? Let us know, man. Hit us up on our Facebook page at Black Cam the ECST, man. We'll shout you out this week on the show. Or hit us up on Twitter as well. Just like, let us know, do you think hip hop dead? Do you like the way it's going? Do you enjoy hip hop getting infiltrated? Or do you care? Or do you just want good music? Or are you just listening to the old shit? You don't listen to new shit. Man, let us know.
Yeah
man, just send us a home, ST.
All right, y'all. Once again, we want to thank y'all for tuning in, joining us, letting us into your earbuds, your cars, your homes, your jobs. We appreciate y'all so much. Like EC just said, you know, hit us up on all our social media. Let us know what you love, what you don't like about the show. Give us suggestions for new shows. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Get them subs up. Be on the lookout for things we got coming down the pipeline.
Cause it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
It's coming like a virgin getting his first taste. it's coming.
Yeah. be on the lookout for all of that. Ignorance is not a handicap. It's a personal choice. And if there is no light, y'all must become the light. So be the light. It was another great week, man. Even though, you know, we weren't really talking about shit today.
Hey, that's how all our shows go, man.
Yeah, you know.
That's why people are here.
Yeah, we get on here and we do our thing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, hopefully that's what you love about the show. Hopefully, you know, at least every episode we try to give you something that you can learn.
Yeah, something that you can take back to, you know, your friends. You can talk about, you know, quote unquote, give you some of that water cooler talk, you know, that old bullshit ass, that statement that people be making, like, you know, water cooler talk or some of that kind of shit. But man, we love y'all, man. Y'all stay blessed, man. We'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Episode number 70. We're gonna holler at y'all next week.
Peace.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Black Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week. Ah!